Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkowitz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, we've been talking about Packers-Seahawks all week long. Sunday afternoon, 3:25 kickoff at Lambeau Field, as we usually do at the end of the week. It's time to really kind of hone in on keys to the game, keys to victory. When you look at the Packers trying to pull this one out and keep themselves alive in the NFC North, what do you got?
I think it starts with Thomas Rawls and stopping the run game for Seattle. We say that a lot. You'll hear Mike McCarthy say that a lot as well. But they were able to get him established a week ago. I think he was, the FedEx Ground Player of the Week. And having that running game back for Seattle is important because now you start getting Russell Wilson a little bit more mobile. Rawls represents a more consistent threat than maybe they've had earlier this season. For the Packers' perspective, that's where it started in that win a year ago. I think Marshawn Lynch averaged somewhere like 3.2 yards per carry.
Yeah, he was really held in check there by the Packers' defense. Didn't really break out any significant runs that impacted the ball game.
Right, and they did it in a form that was really suffocating, I thought, for Wilson. So when I look at this matchup, and especially not having Nick Perry available, we'll see what the status is of the inside linebackers in this game, Jake Ryan and Blake Martinez. But this is going to be a game that I think, as we talked about earlier this week, can be won in the trenches, and the Packers need to be standing up to that because Rawls, as Kristen Michael even warned earlier this week, I mean, he's a beast. And he's a really hungry young man. And when you have that combination of just physical talent and that much motivation, personal motivation, it's a dangerous threat.
Yeah, for sure. If the Seahawks get that ground game going, I mean, that sets up everything else. It sets up the play action, the down-the-seam throws, even sideline throws to Jimmy Graham, Doug Baldwin, all of that stuff. And when I look at it, aside from stopping the run, the containing Russell Wilson really becomes paramount here because we saw earlier in the season the Seahawks offense was not the same when Wilson was dealing with the knee injury and ankle injury and some other things, didn't have his mobility, didn't have that scrambling, you know, get out of the pocket, run around, make things happen kind of thing going for him. But he's got that back now, and the Packers really have to be cognizant of what he can do with his feet, because if there's nothing open downfield, this guy can still move the chains on any given play, just sprint for the first down marker. Dom Capers talked about it yesterday that he's also very good at throwing the ball on the run. If he gets out of the pocket, let's face it, he is a shorter quarterback. He prefers to throw, I think, from outside the pocket because he has a better throwing lane to his receivers. You have to keep him in that pocket and make him beat you from there. Not to say he's not capable of doing that, but that's where you've got to keep him in there.
Yeah, and I think it starts with the push in the middle, too. And when you look at Mike Daniels, LaTroy Guyon, Kenny Clark, all those interior linemen, the outside linebackers have to be cognizant of rushing him, but also not allowing him to get the edge on him and break out free, because at that point, usually he's the hat that's unaccounted for. So it's really going to be able to generate that pressure inside, I think. And when you think back to last year's game when they were using Clay Matthews in the middle, that helped. And I think that went a long way in that. So be curious to see what Dom Capers dials up for this one. But you look at Russell Wilson's stats, I think he only has like 188 rushing yards this year. 80 of those came against Tampa Bay. You don't really see maybe the numbers there that you have in the past couple years. Part of that is obviously the knee inhibiting him from scrambling. But there's a lot of times, too, where he does break out of the pocket, where maybe he could turn it upfield for 9 or 10 yards, that he turns into a big play opportunity downfield. There are a lot of parallels, I think, when you look at Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson's game. And from that perspective, I think the Packers have to be prepared for that, extending plays and being able to make those big things happen downfield based on, you know, escaping the pocket.
Yeah, for sure. And with Seattle's offense, I take nothing away from Doug Baldwin. Packers defensive coaches talked a lot on Thursday about how underrated he is, how he's really developed into a complete football player. But I think the toughest matchup for the Packers as far as the pass-catching options is tight end Jimmy Graham. This is a guy that I don't know exactly how what the Packers' plan is going to be. Will it be Morgan Burnett? Will it be Joe Thomas? Will it be Micah Hyde? Last season, we saw Dom Capers essentially take Clay Matthews out of the pass rush to guard Jimmy Graham down the field, and they weren't as concerned with the pressure on Wilson as they were with preventing Graham from making any big plays. So how the Packers go about it this year, you know, we'll just have to see. But Jimmy Graham is a guy who I think the Seahawks are using him differently this year than they did last year, and he's just a tough matchup all the way around.
He is. I will be interested to see if maybe Dom Capers goes back to that with Matthews kind of covering him a little bit, because he is pretty good at coverage. I mean, he's their best coverage linebacker in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would allow him to get away from some of that contact. At the same time, you need him in the pass rush without Nick Perry. So when they go through their game plan meeting starting on Tuesday and all the way through Saturday, that's probably when we get out there and we watch this game at 3:25 on Sunday, seeing exactly what their thinking is with Matthews and what ways they do use him is going to be really critical for this game. But Jimmy Graham's a matchup nightmare. He has incredible size. He has good speed. And Russell Wilson has figured out how to use him now in this offense, and that's what makes him the most dangerous, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And with that, we'll throw it to our first break. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, we heard from Kristen Michael, Packers running back, in the locker room on Thursday. He hasn't been talking a whole heck of a lot this week, but he knows that reporters wanted to talk to him to find out exactly what his thoughts are on you know, going up against his former team, the Seattle Seahawks, who released him last month, and the Packers obviously claimed him on waivers. Saying all the right things publicly that, hey, this isn't about, you know, any kind of a revenge thing or try to stick it to his former team. He really considers, you know, his former teammates in Seattle like his brothers, very close to a lot of guys there. He spent obviously a lot of time in Seattle. But I got to believe there's, you know, these guys, they get to this level because of their competitive edge. Yeah. And I've got to believe there is that little bit of you don't overplay it, but a little bit of extra juice when you're going up against a team that doesn't want you anymore.
He really appreciated that room. I know he talks like Thomas Rawls, like a brother. He really likes those young running backs they have. But at the same time, and I don't want to put words in his mouth or speculate on what he's actually thinking, but if it was me, if I was the one they let go, if there was four sports writers in a room and they feel like we have our starting guy and we have two younger guys that we like better than you, I'd really be motivated to write well and to get another job and show them that, you know what, you're missing out.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say. The one thing I think that is definitely heartfelt that you can tell when he's talking about is he does really love that football team. He talks really glowingly about he basically named off everybody on the offensive and defensive side of the ball in terms of playmakers. You know, Michael Bennett, I think, spoke really highly of him this week. Pete Carroll, when he talked with the Packers, the Green Bay media, spoke really glowingly of him. But at the end of the day, they felt like they needed to make a decision to improve their backfield when Rawls was coming back. Getting rid of Michael was the move. The Packers bring him in here. Had 11 snaps last week, carried the ball on 9 of those snaps.
Yeah.
You'd have to imagine as we keep going forward, Mike, that he's going to get more opportunities, and particularly against his former team. I still think there's probably no shortage of motivation for him to show that, you know what, I'm a pretty darn good running back, and this is what you're missing out on.
Yeah, and I think this could be the game that maybe his role starts to expand a little bit. We'll just have to see. We don't know exactly what the offensive game plan is, but you know, he had a couple of really nice runs last week. He had a 7-yarder and a 5-yarder. Against the Texans. Then in the kind of the 4-minute offense at the end of the game, he was running against a stacked box, and you know, Packers were just trying to run the clock out and whatnot, wasn't able to rack up a whole bunch of yards. But also, he's been through this situation before. Last year, he had been let go by the Seahawks, was picked up by the Dallas Cowboys for a few games, and then one of those games happened to be against the Seahawks, and he had 5 carries for 20 yards in a close game there between Dallas and Seattle. So the emotional part of it and whatnot is not necessarily new to him. I think, and I think maybe that's partly what we saw coming across in his comments, is that the emotional part of it is under control. He's not going to let this thing get too out of hand. But it is interesting from a statistical standpoint that the guy who is still the leading rusher for the Seattle Seahawks in 2016 with over 400 yards and 6 touchdowns is now going to be playing against them.
Playing against them, yeah. And that's... It's one of the anomalies that kind of happen a little bit when you look over the course of the season. There's so much, you know, fluidity and guys moving around that these things happen. I mean, I'm sure Niall Davis, when he was talking about Green Bay being a great new landscape for him and chance to get a new start, a week later he's back with his old team,
yeah.
You know, and he was back in Kansas City. So these things happen. You know, a lot of times when guys get scouted, these teams that draft them or sign them, they know them really better than anybody else. So you could see that the Seahawks saw the talent in Michael to bring him back when Dallas cut him and to give him a role when they did. And as he said, he's grateful for that. That gave him an opportunity to sort of change himself a little bit, improve both as a running back and as a person. So now he's with the Green Bay Packers. The Packers need that running game to get going. You have Ty Montgomery there, James Starks, him, Ripkowski. Everybody, it seems like, is getting involved with that. And trying to find the right formula to get this team moving here in December is going to be really crucial for the Packers going forward.
Yeah, and I'm really curious to see just exactly what the plan is going to be for the running game here, because we've seen, you know, so many changes, so many ebbs and flows throughout the season with the injuries to Eddie Lacy and then James Starks, and Starks comes back and Ty Montgomery gets worked in. Aaron Ripkowski starts to get some carries.
Right.
Now you've got Christian Michael carrying the ball 9 times
and Jeff
in the
Janis.
Last game. Yeah, Jeff Janis taking a quick pitch on a reverse end around type of play there. So a lot of uncertainty with regards to the Packers running game, but for me a lot of curiosity just to see how they're going to proceed.
How they're gonna manage it. And you know, I was doing a Q&A for the Seattle Seahawks website this week, and they were kinda asking about Michael and, you know, if they kinda see this being a big game for him. As I said, it very well might be, but at the end of the day is he's not the featured back. They're going to feature a lot of guys in this offense, and Ty Montgomery's one of them. And I don't think it was any coincidence whatsoever afterwards when Aaron Rodgers was talked about it after the game, what provided the biggest spark for their offense. It was Ty Montgomery in the backfield. It was that type of package. We've seen that happen earlier again this season. So if Montgomery's up for it, I know there was that little bit of a situation midseason with the illness, but I would have to think, with the way he's protected the football this season, which has been the thing that I think that's impressed me the most, especially last week when he was doing a lot of stuff between the tackles, I would think Ty Montgomery is going to get a lot of opportunities in this committee too going forward.
Yeah, I think we've only seen Montgomery maybe put the ball on the ground once all season long, if I recall, and it was a while ago, and when he was just maybe getting started with the running back duties. But with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz there. And Wes, a storyline that may become a really big story come Sunday afternoon is the weather forecast here in Green Bay. We had our first snow game last Sunday against Houston, but now for this Sunday, there's a potential of anywhere from 1 to 2 to maybe even 5 to 6 inches of snow falling on Sunday. And whether it falls early in the day and is done by kickoff, or falls during the game, or, you know, at kickoff, really hard to say. At the time we're taping this, you know, we're still 48 hours plus away from the actual kickoff, but this could really be turn into one of those memorable December weather games in Green Bay.
It's interesting too, Mike, because what's the temperature going to be around game time? As of current reports, 32 degrees, which would put it exactly where it was at last week.
Yep.
In what turned into a slushy, messy, icy kind of mess for the players in their cleats. Corey Linsley talked about it. You know, they just got to be up to date. He said he was talking to T-Bone a lot, Tom Bakken, one of the equipment managers, to make sure he got the right cleats in there and be able to handle all this stuff. But we could end up seeing very similar conditions. I thought Mike McCarthy was asked about this earlier in the week. I thought the ground crew, I was down there for two different things beforehand, and I thought they did a tremendous job of preparing that field. They had a month to do it.
Yeah.
After that game against Indianapolis, but it was in really good shape. The problem was is that just the wintry mix and the snow kind of falling, melting a little bit, turning to slush and ice, it created some issues. So we'll have to see exactly how consistent the snow is. Does it come early? Are they able to get it off right away? We'll have to wait and see. But certainly it will be something that we'll all be paying attention to on Sunday.
Yeah, and for everything that went into the weather and the conditions in last week's game, it seemed that the field did not get all that beat up necessarily.
I
mean, it looks, when we walk outside here, it looks like it's in pretty darn good shape and ready for another game. So
yeah.
It's really just a matter of the weather forecast, the conditions that are beyond anyone's control, and just see what happens.
I was out there actually earlier today. I was walking down in that area, and it looks like it wasn't touched last week. And I thought that was really impressive considering some of the skidding that was going on at times. It kind of shows you it wasn't so much of the ground giving out. It was just the snow that had fallen that was kind of creating a little bit of havoc. So
sure.
This is going to be big. But as Mike McCarthy said, he hasn't talked to the team about it yet on their Saturday team meeting. He'll address the team, football administration coordinator. Matt Klein is their resident weatherman. He'll give his report to prepare the team on that as well. And they'll roll the dice and see where they fall. But this is going to be a game, I think, especially with Seattle coming in here. They've played in December football games before, but given where they are in their stadium, they deal with some rain at times, but they don't deal with anything like this. So another opportunity for the Packers, even though Houston was a much different team in terms of where they played and how they played in that term, this could be a big advantage for Green Bay, again, going up against a Seattle team that isn't always accustomed to this.
Yeah, for sure, and we'll just have to see what Mother Nature has in store come Sunday afternoon. But with that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, final segment of the week as we normally do. Let's take a look around at the rest of the schedule in the NFL, particularly in the NFC. I think most of the fans are aware of where the Packers sit. Two games behind the Detroit Lions here with four games left to go. So a lot of eyes for Packers fans will be on Ford Field, the Chicago Bears heading into Detroit. Would certainly be a big help to the Packers if the Bears can pull an upset there. Chicago coming off of a home victory over San Francisco last week. Detroit trying to keep that stranglehold on the division for now. And then you've also got the Minnesota Vikings playing on the road down in Jacksonville. A struggling Jaguars team and Minnesota, looking at this as an opportunity to maybe get their season back on track and start a late season run.
This is a tough one. This is a tough week. This is where I think you would say you look at Detroit and Minnesota. They both have easy layups. Not to say you can't miss that layup, but it's an opportunity for them to really go in there and set the tone and do what I think everybody's expecting them to do. I probably have a little bit more faith in the Bears right now than I do the Jaguars, which is weird because the Jaguars are actually the team that's home.
Yeah.
But it just seems to me, every once in a while, Mike, there's those games that don't make sense. You and I have talked about them, where something happens that you don't expect. I don't know. There's something about that Bears team that I kind of like that matchup right now for them against Detroit. We'll see.
Yeah.
Detroit's played well at home this season, and obviously that fan base is going to be really energized. But if they could find a way here... Matt Barkley and company, sort of a mixed group in terms of what they have and what's been left over after all these injuries, but I'm not counting them out of this one.
Yeah, I always think that some of the more unpredictable games, you might say, or the games that don't necessarily go according to form are divisional rivalries,
right?
Because these teams know each other so well, they play each other twice a year. You know, it looks like you look at Lions Bears and you think, oh, the Lions will win by 20 points. And they very well could. They might win that game by 20 points. But the Bears also, as a division opponent, they might keep it close. And then if they do keep it close, you get one break in the fourth quarter, a tipped ball, a penalty flag at the right time or something. And all of a sudden, Chicago could be in position to win the game. So you just never know how these things are going to go. But elsewhere in the NFC, also a big week in the NFC East with Washington at Philadelphia, and then on Sunday Night Football, Dallas is at the New York Giants. If you're a Packers fan still trying to get in the best possible position for a wild card, per se, if Detroit does not give away the division, you're rooting for the Eagles and the Cowboys here to hand the Redskins and the Giants another loss. But the Cowboys trying to put themselves in position to potentially clinch the number one playoff seed in the NFC very early.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of concern in the insider inbox these past 2 weeks with people asking, do we need to be cheering for the Giants here because of, you know, the way the Cowboys go? I'll tell you what, and this is how I said it too in the inbox, is that if the Cowboys legitimately want to start sitting guys down in week 15, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know, having 3 weeks off, what good that's going to do your team. Other than being really healthy, they haven't played football in a really long time once they get to that divisional round matchup. Week 17, I see it, but week 16, I don't see that yet. And then the other thing is, too, is, well, their backup quarterback's not bad either. So,
yeah, and week 16 is when the Cowboys play the Lions,
right. Which
is why a lot of the fans are asking about it.
But, yeah, getting back to the game with Washington and Philadelphia, though, if you're the Packers, you're really rooting for Doug Peterson and the Eagles to figure this thing out.
No question.
Because they would, even if it comes down to 9-7, they would still have the advantage over them. Washington in an interesting spot right now. They also got to kind of find themselves and, you know, try to establish a playoff run here. So two good matchups to watch.
Yeah, and also the other team you can't help but keep an eye on in the NFC is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with what they've done the last couple weeks, beating the Seahawks, going on the road and beating the San Diego Chargers. Now they're at home against the New Orleans Saints. The Saints coming off of a really disappointing performance for them at home against Detroit, which was a game the Saints, I think, wanted to, you know, use to launch a playoff run, but a big game for the Bucs.
Saints are going to win that game, though.
All right. You heard it here from Wes, and we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.